This is the second hour and a half of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. We are following the case of Lisa Ann, the Fermenthal daughter, and Daddy Claude, who had their child taken away on Wednesday, allegedly for one night. It's now Saturday. One night has turned into three. They still don't have their child back, as far as we know. And this is how that story intersected with my life. I was at home on the phone when I received this phone call. I was in the midst of an interview with People's Park supporter David Nadell, a man who owns a nightclub in Berkeley, but who has put himself out on the streets and been arrested by police for supporting the rights of the homeless. He was talking about People's Park.
And to create a formal entry of the park recognizing the history of People's Park.
Can you hold for a moment?
Homeless people on the corner of where Pergolesi's is and Pacific Garden Mall, to where Kelly Moore used to be. And they're being harassed by the police, and I was just somebody that was walking back from the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And the one thing the woman asked, the only thing that she asked, was please take your hands off me. Mm-hmm. She has a child, and that's all she asked. And I watched one of the cops throw one of the men on the ground, and
what's your name?
My name is William Jones.
And William, you got a phone number I can reach you at later?
Yeah, hold on one moment. The woman asked us to call the media, because she wants it to be known what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought...
Hold on just a minute, William. I'll be right back. I've got someone on the other line. Don't go away.
David?
Hang on now.
Yeah, they're beating people up downtown. I gotta go.
Call me back later.
I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just basically coming to the rescue of what she was asking. She was asking somebody to call the media for it, because the police are the ones who are harassing her, so obviously she doesn't want more police.
Do you know who this person we're speaking of?
Not yet. I don't know that. I didn't go up because I was afraid myself, because the police...
How many police officers there?
There are three now. There was one in the beginning.
Are you watching it right now?
No. I'm in the metro right now.
Okay. And how many other people watching the...
There were people. There's the girl that called you is right here, too.
Okay.
My number that you can reach me at is...
Best thing to do, if you can, is go back and keep watching.
Okay. And would you like to talk to the girl that's here?
Sure. Put her on. And meanwhile, you should go back and watch
okay,
as she talks.
Okay, let's see it.
Okay, thank you, William.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
This is Jennifer.
Who?
Just a minute, please. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hey, come back here, please. Just, I'm sorry. I got
he's going to go watch. I suggested he do that.
Okay, never mind. I'll see you. I was on two phones at once.
Yeah,
one was KSBWA and you.
Oh, I see. Your name is Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're harassing these people for nothing. All they were doing is sitting there.
And where were they sitting? Inside the alcove next to Kelly Moore Paints?
They're sitting on the, not on the sidewalk, but, do you know, okay, you know Union Grove Music is, right?
Yeah.
In the parking lot. They're just sitting there, and the guy, one of the police officers threw one of the guys down.
Interrupting this call to comment that Union Grove Music was also the scene of an earlier instance of a police assault on an innocent person, a man named Morpheus Mike, who served food at the Free Mill. In 1990, in May, Mike was playing his guitar next to Union Grove Music parking lot when Sergeant Bob Hennick of prostitute arresting fame recently. He was cited by the Citizens Police Review Board as having brushed the breast of a prostitute and that being okay behavior. The police department and the Citizens Police Review Board said that was fine for Sergeant Hennig. And then in 1990, he was also engaged in an assault. He assaulted a man, Morpheus Mike, threw him to the ground, slammed him against a car, with the result that a demonstration marched down to the police department. I was one of the four people in that demonstration who were cited or arrested, essentially for leading an unpermitted demonstration. It was quite a scene. As far as I know, Sergeant Hennig was never disciplined, in spite of the wonderful internal review process that the police department has and is so proud of. That happened at Union Grove Music. Union Grove Music has also been known for its tendency to tell poor people around there not to sit on its property. Even to sit on the lip of its property, the lip of its parking lot. Continuing with this phone call, which led eventually to my going down to Cathcart or Union Grove Music near Cathcart and Pacific, a block or two away, to find out what was happening with Lisa Ann, the woman whose child was eventually taken by CPS.
Sitting out there right now, harassing him. And the lady, she's like, please take your hands off me. She has a baby in her hands, and she was sitting down.
Is her name Fire, by any chance?
I don't know.
Okay, what you might want to do, I'll call the Sentinel and mention this.
Okay.
But you should call me back later, and if you don't catch me at this number, just give a long report to the answering machine.
Okay.
That's right. What's, you have a place you can be reached, a phone number, or?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Jennifer.
Last name? Come on down. It's going to take me about 10 minutes to come downtown, by which everything may have been gone.
Yeah.
But go there and watch it. Try to get people's names.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you when I get down there.
All right.
I'm Robert Norris.
Okay, you'll see me. I'm in a black jacket with a maroon sweatshirt.
Black jacket.
Long hair.
I'm long gear. I'm a guy with about 240 pounds, black beard, 6 feet.
Okay.
See you then.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, it's Elm Street in Pacific. Patty, what time you got? No watch?
Must be 4:20 or something. I'm not sure.
Okay, I see as I arrive here, there are two people sitting in the Elm Street Union Grove parking lot. Patty, what's happening here?
I don't know. They may want to take the baby to Protective Services. I'm not quite sure. I couldn't tell you.
Right. I see there are two squad cars. One's parked at the curb here on Elm Street. The other is parked in the middle of the street. I see four police officers. Sorry, let me stand here with you, because you've been present.
And a motorcycle cop, yes.
Motorcycle cop, and I see, are these two, I saw one man had been handcuffed and put into a car, and there's two folks.
There's two guys in the car. They were giving mouth, I guess, to the cops about what was happening over there. They've been drinking.
I see.
Yeah, I don't know their roles.
Officer Kruger is standing there, several other officers, motorcycle cop. Skateboarders, I'll approach. Let's see what's happening. So, howdy. All right, how you doing? Really?
You're the one that I just hooked with?
Okay, Nate?
Based on a psychologist report from my son.
Now, what's your name?
Lisa Ann.
Lisa Ann?
Yeah.
And your name again? What's the name of your child?
My child is Star,
okay.
And they've got my boy on a psychologist report because they couldn't find any reason to take my child away because they want to adopt him from my stepfather. We got married recently and she can't have babies and he can't.
He's the one to come down here and say he wanted to call CPS on us and take our baby.
But my child, you can take a look at my child.
You're referring to Officer Kruger?
She's warm, she's well fed, she's well diet.
We're down
here with Steve. Perfectly cared for. We have places in Monterey County to go. We really live in Monterey County. We spend much time here.
So how did this incident begin?
I don't know.
He came over here and said
that
he wanted to call CPS on her and take the baby from us.
You see, my child, I don't want her in foster care while I go through this. You know, my child, they have absolutely no right within their laws to take this child.
So are you under arrest at the moment, or?
I don't know. It sure seems like that. I was kind of handled a little roughly. Of course, I'm going to try and walk away when somebody's trying to kidnap my child. The police officer doesn't understand that that's what they're trying to do.
At this moment, I made a serious mistake in not advising Lisa Ann that if she wasn't under arrest, she should simply walk away, and then the police officer would have the option to make an arrest. That would be his choice. Instead, she was later taken to the police station without any formal arrest, not informed of her rights, not allowed to have access to an attorney or to me, and she requested that I be present. But you'll hear more of this as the tape continues.
The police officer doesn't understand that that's what they're trying to do.
And who handled you roughly?
Well, this officer.
Ran right here and tried to squeeze her arm and turn her around, and there
he
go.
He told me not to go, but of course I know that people are trying to kidnap my child. He's not aware of that.
Don't be squeezing on her arm. She's so little, man. He tried to break her arm, tried to squeeze her. Yeah. And I'll fight him, you know. Hey, don't be taking my kids away from this. All right, kill her. We can file a suit too, man, because he got you first.
I've just got to come up with some money for somebody to sue these people at CPS. I don't have a lawyer because I'm poor. I have a public defender who's been fighting very hard for me, but she's fighting alone. And she knows what she's up against. She's up against a judge up there, Commissioner Cloud, who just says yes to whatever CPS says. She's up against a Roberta Krenz at CPS Santa Cruz, who when I said I didn't want, well, this was her previous person, Valerie Werner was the particular person at CPS who started it. When I wanted to move into a neighborhood, that was of mixed culture. They wanted me to move into an all-white neighborhood. I wanted to move in with one white and brown.
Excuse me.
Of course I have the right to give my story.
You have two choices right now.
What?
Your immediate choices are that you can rise...
Mr. Norris, you're going to have to back up. Everybody's going to have to back up, please. Thank you.
What you hear now is Sergeant Sanderson advising her that she's got to come along, even though he has not officially put her under arrest. He continued this ambivalent legal status at the police station, where he refused to let an attorney in to speak to her, claiming she was not under arrest, and that she had not asked for an attorney, even though she had asked for an advocate. You also see Officer Pruger telling people to move back. If this happens to you and you're observing a crime scene, take two steps back and stay where you are. You have a right to be present at a scene, provided the officers are not being menaced or interfered with. That's what we did.
Listen to me. If you want to go with me as a family to the police department, we'll talk to the CPS worker there. Fine. Okay? Is that your desire?
No. I want to sit here.
Is that your desire?
Home.
No, we're not staying here.
Why not?
I just
don't
told
you.
You.
Don't you believe in
speaking?
No, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works.
He wants us to go down and talk to CPS and take us for a month from right there.
We'd like an advocate with us.
That's not the way it works.
Because we have someone go with us?
You want to get in the car with your child. Or you want me just to take the child?
You can't take this baby right there.
I'm getting in
you
the car.
You can't grab my child.
For reason, sir. For what reason, sir, would you take your child from his mother, sir? For what reason, sir, would you take this child?
You want to ride with me or not?
For what reason, sir, would you take this child?
Of course, you should.
You're not involved in this. I suggest you back out right now. This is a police investigation, all right?
That's fine, Lisa.
We need a witness here. We deserve a witness.
You need to just travel with us up to the police department.
Why?
The only way this is going to be resolved right now.
So we're not stealing any
baby. You want to know
baby.
Who's going to be there? Roberta Krenz, a woman who has hired her prejudice, who took my boy away because I didn't want to live in an all-white neighborhood because my boy is brown and I wanted white and brown.
Because they're stealing our children from us every way they can. Through the courts, through CPS.
Are you going to ride with me then?
They want our children.
Nobody else is riding this police car. I don't care what you think. This is what's happening. If you want to go to the police department, fine. I don't care.
There are two people that would like to go with her, and the more people that go with her, the better her situation will be in the long run.
If you want to go to the police department, fine. That's fine.
You're not listening to me.
Yeah,
do you understand if there's a problem in the situation, there's absolutely...
Sergeant, can we come to the police department and be with her there?
We have a right to know why they're doing this.
Liberty is
behind you. Liberty!
What is
you're
not
going to
go
with them? I'm willing to go with them. If I force my way, I'll be arrested, unfortunately.
And that's the liberty. This is the liberty.
So she's entering the squad car 137 with Jesse.
Stealing our children,
It'd be good to go and follow them. Where are they taking her? You have a car? No, a police department over here.
So,
where?
Lisa, do you want us to come to the police department with you?
She said yes.
She said yes.
Okay, so we should go to the police department.
Go there?
All right.
Please go.
Yeah, you want... Yeah. Okay. You have a car?
I don't have a car. I'll go with you guys.
Here's my car.
They cannot take the child.
Well, that's all they're going to do.
That's what they're going to do.
They're going right over there to have the CPS take them away from her.
They can't. She has the right to stay here.
No. Why did they take her away then? If she has the way...
She doesn't know her question.
She said she didn't want to go. Nobody gave her... They didn't give her a choice. We all stood it here.
She doesn't know...
You want us to come, Lisa?
She's allowed to step out.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So here's... You want to stay here and interview people? Here's a paper. You got to record. Okay. Interview people. I'll go to the police station.
Are you both going to go to the police station?
What's your... You want to come over there?
No, okay.
So I'm at the old police station now with Liberté. It's a little after 4. Maybe we should wander around this way and see what's happening down here. So Liberté and I have come to the police department, police operations, the old police station, where we are waiting because we're told by the dispatcher that Sergeant Sanderson will be informed that we were here. We've been asked to come to the police station because, as you've heard in the previous segment of the tape, Lisa, the woman who was taken here by the police, was asking for me to come along. So that's why I'm here, but apparently I'm unable to get into the police station at the moment. Sergeant Sanderson has refused to allow me to come in. The man whom he picked up with Lisa is just walked out of the station briefly, and I talked to Mayor Byers asking that she contact him. I'm speaking with
Jennifer.
And Jennifer, let's wander on down here since this is where it's all happening. Jennifer, what, yeah, it's down here.
So what?
You observe what happened, Jennifer. Can you give us kind of the update here as we wait outside the police station
to see
what happened? Yes, what happened to her?
Okay, they walk up to her.
With some police officers earlier
the
today
police
walked
officers
up to,
walked up to Lisa and?
Is that woman and her child?
The woman and her child. I saw them grab her by the arm, put her behind her back. She said, please take your hands off of me.
Right.
And they sat her and the guy that was with her down, don't know who. And she said, go call the media. So I did. Went and called you guys. Came back. They were harassing her. I went to talk to her. And they told me to leave. And I got a little bit out of her. They said that she said they were trying to take her baby. And she was doing nothing wrong. That they were just trying to take her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then they told me to get out.
Now, did you initially see her with how many officers?
About five.
Five officers.
Yes.
Okay, now...
I got a couple of names if you want
to. She was seated in the same place where I saw her in the Union Grove parking lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And was she being loud, abusive, drunken, crazy, and wild anyway?
Oh. No, completely calm. She's completely calm. They were harassing her.
Okay. And did she say that, did they say she was under arrest?
No, they did not.
Okay. And did they threaten her in any manner to press her to go with them?
Threaten her? No. They said they'd take her baby. They said either you come with us.
That wasn't really a threat. That was sort of more of a promise.
They just said you either come with us or we're taking the baby.
I see. So they were prepared to grab this baby from this woman's arms right there in public and just take that baby away.
Yes. Yes.
Is there any reason for that? Do you know?
All they said was they were conducting an investigation. They were going to take the baby.
Did they have a charge?
They did not voice it to her or to anybody out there.
Okay, now, I also heard a report, I believe it was from you or from the other person who called me, who said that somebody was thrown down in the parking lot?
Yes, I believe that was the guy that said that, that they were thrown down.
Who was that? Who was thrown down?
The man and her were forced, like I said, forcefully sat down, which is another way of saying sat down.
So in other words, they weren't actually thrown in such a way that injured them physically?
The guy might have been. He was thrown harder. And the lady still had the baby in her arms when she was sat down.
You got your little mask on. Sorry. Little mug mask. I've seen those things being worn by cops.
As Sergeant Hennig is passing by. How many people observed this? Was there a relatively large crowd? Or?
About 20 people or more. There was, people kept coming and going and saw it.
Okay. Well, anything you want to add to this you think that might, that you saw that particularly struck you about this event?
They were harassing her. She could not leave. She tries to walk away and they won't let her. They did not give her any reason for making her stay there.
Did they physically prevent her from walking away?
Yes, they did.
So they actually kept her there, illegally detained her. They didn't have any charge for her.
They didn't voice a charge, no.
Okay. Well, it's about 4:45. We're out here in back of the police station, the old police station, where the squad cars gather. I don't know how they're going to whisk her out of the building, probably some other way than where we are, or maybe not. We can go to the Sentinel if we want before the Sentinel closes at 5:30.
A lady from the Sentinel was there at the scene.
Right.
Taking down
stuff. Do you know what her name was, sir?
No, I didn't.
Saw Officer Pruger, who seemed to play a key role in this. Can you give us very specifically, did you hear any specific things he said to her?
No, not specifically him. He just would not let her leave. And he was telling anybody that was in a 10-foot radius to go away. Mm-hmm. Across
and
the street.
Did he physically abuse her in any way?
Not that I saw.
That's good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So you did see Officer Pruger use force in terms of...
That was the officer, though.
The officer...
That's the only problem.
You saw one of the officers twist...
Grab her arm, twist her behind her back.
And use force.
Yes.
In order to...
In order to detain her.
So she attempted to walk away and...
She did. She attempted to walk away and they would not let her.
Okay. Were you present in the conversation that happened before she attempted to walk away?
No.
Okay. Do you know anybody who was?
A couple people. I don't know their names.
We should really go back to the scene and interview them, probably. After I left, you said the Union Grove management kicked out the people at the parking lot?
Yes. They said it was a private lot and nobody could be there unless they were going in for business reasons because they were scaring away business. And said otherwise they were going to call the police. We said call the police. They said okay, we will.
So we maybe should go back there and see what's happening at the Union Grove parking lot. Yeah, there's not much we can do here that I can see.
Lieutenant!
You're leaving, Lieutenant Habey.
But I was told earlier that Lieutenant Habey was not here and not available. Obviously he's not available, but he was here.
He was here.
So apparently the dispatcher was in error.
I need to have some answers from you. You are a perfect person.
I can't believe they're not allowing them to have an advocate or a witness.
The officers just slammed the door in Liberté's face. And looks like the squad car is back again.
Come on, look some more.
Liberté was an older woman concerned about this case who came over to the police station with me and on about five or six occasions asked police officers, sergeants, lieutenants, people going in and out of the police station from the back, officers, members of the police force, what was happening in the station with Lisa Ann, why the individuals outside were not allowed to communicate with her, why she was not allowed to have an advocate in the station as she requested. Liberté was uniformly ignored, door was slammed in her face. Occasionally she was humored and told that an arriving officer would inquire of Sergeant Sanderson, the man who made the arrest, although it was not described as an arrest, of Lisa Ann and her baby and the baby's father. And the scene continued. Eventually, I contacted attorney Ed Fry, and he agreed to come over to try to help out. We continued to ask officers arriving at the station if they would try to find out what was going on inside. Those who had arrived knew nothing about the case were quite courteous. Some of them, others were not so. The people waiting with us had had bad experiences with CPS, including one couple who had their child with them. We didn't get any information from them at that time, but that was their motivation for being with us. A concern about the health and safety of Lisa Ann and her child, and a fear that CPS would in fact take the child.
An advocate to the proceedings that this couple is undergoing, which involves CPS.
Okay,
and they should have
on,
a right, so. Wait, they should have a right to have an advocate, and that is like the humane thing to do, and if you could...
pleading your cause to the wrong guy. I don't even know what's going on.
Not
I'll go see if I can
plead my cause,
I'll
plead my cause so that when you walk in there, you
right.
can ask that...
Don't mix up what
question.
I'm saying. I'm just going to have somebody come out and talk to you that knows.
No, I don't...
Right here at the back of the police station, there are what? Eight of us, including a smaller person. And how are you today, smaller person? Say hello.
Can you say something?
She's a strong, silent type, I think.
Shy.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there any more CPS case that's occurring in there?
You'll have to ask the sergeant on duty.
Who's that?
Sergeant Sanders.
Damn.
Our favorite sergeant, actually.
Well, for Sergeant Sanders.
The P-word.
Talk to him.
I don't know what to tell you. Now my kid, I don't know anything about it. I don't even know what went on.
Tell me what your rating is.
I'm a patrolman. Sergeant. Charge.
Liberté has been asking every officer she can
for information, and as has Kim.
I guess you're private, huh, Sergeant?
No, he's just been here.
It's 5 o'clock here at the Santa Cruz Police Department. And Attorney Ed Fry is en route. Thank you. So actually, this makes, so there have been about what? Liberté has approached, well, what, a half a dozen officers, and at least two or three of them have assured her that they are going to send someone out to talk to us. Now, no one has yet come out of the police station to talk to this group of concerned citizens.
We've been here an hour.
Who have been here
over an hour.
Certainly since 4:30. Certainly, I've been here at least half an hour, I think. 4:40, 4:15, we're
ready. Nothing happened at 4 o'clock. The arrest happened at 4. We came here immediately.
Right, so it was we certainly... It certainly
5 at 10 after
4. Can I go to the other door?
You can try. Fry here is missing dinner. Ed, welcome to the group.
Thanks.
Courtroom. Yes. Can anything be done here? What are a person's rights in this situation, Ed, as an attorney? Perhaps you have more of an understanding than we are mortals here.
The first right you have is the right to know what's the charge.
Right.
Is this one of the ones you asked?
I think we've asked almost every officer going in there, but this is sort of a shift change, and there are a lot of officers who don't know what's cooking. Officer Dennison was present when this happened, and he took off on his motorcycle. Sergeant Sanderson, Officer Pruger was also present. And here's the mayor herself coming over, for heaven's sake. We could have it. We could camp out here tonight. Why not? This could be the new open air shelter right here. Well, nothing. They won't give us any information. Sanderson won't let us in. We can't talk to Lisa Ann or her companion. We're stuck. But I don't blame Officer Black at this time. Maybe tomorrow. I see. Typical.
Okay, so, all right. I'm coming back in about half an hour.
Here in jail, I'm talking to Officer Black, who's being informed by Ed Fry here that...
I'll tell you for your record,
yes,
Mr. Conn.
Yes.
I don't go over my sergeant. I've already spoken to my sergeant.
What did he say?
And if you're dealing with my sergeant,
yes,
I'll let you continue to deal with him.
Well, we're not really dealing with him. He doesn't want to deal with us.
Okay.
Maybe he doesn't know that
I did,
I'm here.
But he may not
he
know.
Might not,
yeah,
he might
maybe
not
you
know.
Can inform him that Ed Fry is, so that's all we need.
Not at this time. I will let you ask this officer to do so.
I see.
And I'm going to get myself out of this mess. I'm going to go home.
Young man.
Excuse me. I'm going to go home.
Attitude.
It's
got an attitude.
It's a simple thing to ask.
You've got an attitude.
You're not allowed in there. Okay.
I understand what you're saying. Don't talk to my client.
At this point, Attorney Ed Fry has just been barred from the police station after asking to speak to his client, Lisa Ann. Officer Black has refused to inform the sergeant that Attorney Ed Fry is there. We begin to see what appears to be, in my opinion, an illegal pattern of obstruction. Certainly a pattern of obstruction, denying this woman, Lisa Ann, this poor woman, access to an attorney who will advise her of her rights. However, the police prefer to keep her isolated, cut off from homeless advocates like myself and Kim Argula, as well as from Attorney Ed Fry, in the situation inside the police station at dusk. How come attorneys get special privileges?
I don't understand this.
Sergeant Sanderson emerged from the police station and drew Ed Fry aside to talk to him. I edged over into the conversation to hear what was being said, and eventually I began to record it. Essentially, Sanderson was saying that Ed Fry had no right to be there, in the police station anyway, because Lisa Ann had not called for an attorney. Though she had called for an advocate, which is another way of saying an attorney, and Fry asked Sanderson, the sergeant, if he would inform her that he was there. Sanderson refused, and we began shouting, "Ask for an attorney," inside the police station. We were told that we were disturbing the peace.
I can remember that, okay? Before that, they were patrolmen. But then they got this title, officer, okay? They got this title that they think they're entitled to.
Right.
Changes everything.
I understand that, Sergeant Sanderson. However, you heard them ask for me to be present.
They asked for advocates. They said, she goes, I want an advocate. A lawyer, an attorney is an advocate.
So what?
That's really inhumane. I don't understand why you wouldn't allow them.
This is routine police business and CPS business, which really is not your concern.
They have a right to have an attorney present.
Not in this case, not at this moment.
I don't understand why you wouldn't...
Your rights are about to be defined.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have informed you of what's going on. Okay. We're trying to figure out what is ultimately going to happen here and how.
My question to you is, will you tell them that I'm here and available?
I don't know
right
yet.
Now.
I don't know.
You don't know
no.
yet.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
That's my request, that you do that right away.
Thank you, man.
They did request an advocate, which
attorney,
is... Attorney,
there's an attorney out here! Request an attorney!
Request an attorney, Lisa!
You were conducting business.
You caused the
You know, that's up to you.
Sergeant Sanderson, you're refusing to convey information. That's the reality.
Don't block the back door.
You're refusing to convey information.
Request an attorney, Lisa!
Request an attorney, Lisa!
Kidnapping! Where do we file charges of kidnapping?
Generally, they said that there's suspicion of negligent care of the child.
Now, you... It seems that they should have a right to an attorney. What occurred in that line of trying to get them an advocate or an attorney to inform them of their rights?
Margula is interviewing Ed Fry, asking about what his conversation with Sanderson, what happened in that conversation.
I told them that they have a right, since they're about to be deprived of a right, or potentially deprived of their child, that they have a right to a lawyer.
Yeah,
and he said, well, I don't think that's true. So I asked him please tell them that I'm here and available to them, and that she did ask for an advocate.
And what did he say in reply to that?
He said, well, not at this time.
Yeah, that's what I heard. He said he would not... tell them that there is an attorney here that can represent them. And I personally witnessed Lisa Ann requesting an advocate to come with her.
Right.
So she has already requested an attorney and asking for an advocate. So it seems to me that they're depriving her of her rights. She has a right to a lawyer before she says anything.
Well, she's not being accused of a crime per se.
She's just being held against her will.
Technically, it's a civil matter under Welfare and Institutions Code. But, I mean, it means a tremendous loss of rights on her part, forfeiting the, you know, custody of the child. So she should have an attorney if she wants one.
Right, and I don't see what harm that would be doing in allowing you to be present in the room. It seems like a humane thing to do to allow to have an advocate or an attorney to be present while something's going on like this, especially somebody who neutral in the situation, somewhat neutral. I mean, you don't know her, so you would be an advocate.
Mm-hmm. Request an attorney! Lisa, request an attorney!
And what's your suggestion in this sort of situation?
Well, we can't storm the castle here. So, we have to go to court.
Let's stand over here.
I mean, one would have to go to court.
Yes.
At this point, Lisa Ann and Cloud reemerged without the baby.
There they are.
Yay!
All right. Where's the baby?
They took the baby.
What do you mean they took the baby?
They took the baby.
You fucking shit hole!
Don't get that the police
What do you mean it's okay?
It's not okay.
They took your baby?
No, it's not okay. Yeah, they have the baby until tomorrow. I don't know. They better release that baby tomorrow. Because,
what happened, bro? Tell us.
They
took the baby.
So they had the baby for one day.
Why?
Well,
we're homeless.
That's what they say. Mm-hmm. You know, but they said that they're taking the baby right now to get in touch with Sutter County.
Why is that?
Because they think that there's a case open in Sutter County. Sutter County had asked me if I would do a voluntary two-month program with them. And I didn't want to do a voluntary
program. What kind of a program?
Voluntary. You know, seeing their psychologists.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what CPS does. They figure everyone has
Did
to
Did you sign
a
anything?
Psychologist.
No, nothing.
No.
Okay.
Did you
tell them that this was
But done? I did yeah. miss the court date. I thought it was Friday and it was Thursday. I missed the court date and it was right around the time that I was moving CPS Sutter County. Furthermore, when they had my child in custody for 1 week, they sent my child to the hospital. Well, they didn't send her to the hospital. She got a fever, and my friend brought her to the hospital, you know, like anyone should.
Yeah, right.
And CPS authorized a spinal tap. She was 2 months old.
What?
CPS
spinal
Sutter County.
Tap?
Yes, she had a spinal tap
for that?
To verify if she had meningitis or not, which they had no reason to wonder anyways, but they cannot do a dangerous procedure like that on a 2-month-old child without notifying the mother. You know, and that's what happened.
They did it anyway.
So I have no, you know. Furthermore, lies started coming up at CPS Sutter County, and I confronted the woman, Julie Goldwyn. She's a good Christian woman. I told her, "Hey, you're bearing false testimony here."
What lies? Mm-hmm. What happened in here? How long? They asked you questions for a period of half an hour before they. What happened?
Half an hour, an hour.
What kind of questions?
We had a place to sleep, and I said I can have a place to sleep. I go down my half brother's house, and I've got a home. He's a multi-millionaire. He's a millionaire. We can go down there and they go, "Well, we want to take the baby to have a checkup down at the hospital, and then you call tomorrow, and if it's verified you have a place, you can have a baby." And I go, "That's what you guys said the last time, and you adopting it out to this other people."
Father speaking, and his words were prophetic because the baby was not returned the next day. As mentioned earlier in this broadcast, the baby had not been returned by Saturday, several days later. So CPS continued to hold the baby in spite of its promises to return it the next day.
So you guys need to find a place by tomorrow in order to have the baby back with you?
Well, that would help tremendously. The CPS has no authority to take a child for being homeless.
Uh-huh.
They have absolutely no authority, but they will go around the law and use their one scapegoat that they have. They will get a psychologist to write a report for them. That is the loop that CPS has, and they use it. I have a couple friends who are verifiably, at the time that their child was about to be adopted out, people showed up at court and took them to the mental institution and incarcerated them for 2 or 3 months while they took their child for adoption. Now, this is not my case, but this is true. It has happened. You can talk to the people. I know them.
What were they trying to establish in this half hour or hour that they held you for?
That this is after hours, and they can't get in touch with CPS Sutter County. So until they can get in touch with CPS Sutter County, they are saying that they have to take my child and put her in a foster care home, even though there is absolutely no signs of abuse or neglect whatsoever.
What document are they using to do this? What authority are they acting on?
They think that she has an open case in Sutter County. That Sutter County had asked me to do a voluntary program, and I didn't want to.
They turned around and said exactly like this. They said, you know, "You're on the streets, and you can't have a baby on the streets," you know?
So they felt homelessness was a basis for depriving a mother of a child.
Oh, yeah.
And a child of her mother.
But that is untrue.
Did you feel?
So the three reasons, apparently, that Lisa Ann's baby were taken, as best as I could gather at that time, were: one, she had missed a court date; two, she had failed to do a voluntary program, so-called voluntary program, apparently not so voluntary, up in Sutter County; and three, according to the father, they perceived the three of them, the family, as being homeless, although in fact they did have a residence, and they had have a phone down in Monterey County where they're staying with the husband's half-brother.
Did you feel manipulated, or did they physically take the baby from you?
Yep.
Like, or did they say, "We have to take it"? What's going on for you right now? Do you feel like you're needing to work with them in order to keep this baby? Like, what's
That's a hard question. You got to know what's been happening for 2 years.
Yeah,
there's no such
right.
thing as working with them.
Yeah,
because
right.
they will work against you and pretend that they're working with you. I'm not talking about the police department or the sheriffs who come and take the children. They're going on an order to come and get a child. They are not the people who do it. CPS is the one who does it. Mm-hmm. And there is no talking to a worker who doesn't like you at CPS.
Right.
They have admitted, you know, one of the things that they'll say, what was it, Barbara Pasco, she says, "I can't talk with you right now. I'm involved in this drama over here." Yeah, they do. They think they're in a soap opera, a drama. They're manipulating people's lives with their children, and that is what they're doing, and they're getting away with it because their judges just say do whatever CPS says. Mm-hmm. CPS stated that they gave me 18 months of reunification services. They gave me a final 6 months that I was ordered, the judge who stepped in, not Commissioner Cloud. Commissioner Cloud has been furthering this whole thing by letting CPS go through with completely illegal procedures. However, another judge stepped in.
And informed that there was an attorney out here who you had the option to talk to?
No.
They wouldn't let nobody in.
Were you informed that there were advocates that...
They wouldn't let nobody in.
Were you informed that there were people out here who
were
willing to come in?
Yeah, we asked
them if
somebody wanted to talk to us, and they said, no, nobody can come in here. We were going to talk to you guys. Everybody else is going to stay out. Exactly what they said.
And what kind...
They said you could leave?
They're only under orders in the police department. They don't do this. They're following their orders.
You came, they told you the same thing. You can't come in.
Right. Now the CPS person has been in there for, how long was that CPS person there with you?
About an hour, maybe.
And what was she doing with you? What did she say?
I was telling her my past history with my son and what's been going on with Star. And like I said, that last 6 months, I finished four and a half of the months completely, and then I moved to Yuba City, and CPS Santa Cruz refused to transfer the dependency. So they stated that I was given the full 6 months services, and I failed to complete them. That's not true. That is an outright lie. They refused to transfer, make a perfectly, routine transfer.
Yeah. And the CPS worker didn't believe you.
Yeah,
and
CPS Sutter knows this, and CPS Sutter said, we don't want anything to do with your daughter, Star. She's obviously well taken care of. You know, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
CPS people said that.
Yeah, up there.
Well, not on
up there in Uba.
And that's what they said. Let's see. And they knew that they hadn't given me the last month and a half of services. They were trying to fight to get my dependency transferred too, and to get my son transferred up there so he could live with me while I was fighting to get him back. Santa Cruz outright refused to transfer. Not only that, they started saying that I had failed to complete the services when I did a lot of services for 4.5 months, and then I tried to get it transferred. They refused to transfer.
So what does that mean?
So typical bureaucratic red tape.
You did a lot of services, meaning
which they're using.
What does that mean? You did a lot of services. What exactly? I'm not quite sure I understand the terminology.
I went to see other psychologists who might need to see some psychologists themselves. I went, and of course I saw my son. I was allowed to see him twice a week for an hour each visit. My son. One thing they had to put down in their psychologist report is my son obviously loves me. You know, and 2 hours a week.
How old is your son?
He was born, you know, that's pretty wonderful.
Your son is 3 years old?
He's going to be 2, November 24th.
And so currently he's been put up for foster care right now. He's in a foster home.
He is with my stepfather, who is trying to adopt him, to kidnap him from me because he can't have a child of his own with his new wife.
Now, is this the child we're talking about that you were in the station with?
That's my son.
Okay, so.
But that,
What is this child we're speaking of in the station?
Star, is my little girl. She's 4 months old.
Right.
And they're pending. They want to get in touch with Sutter County and see what Sutter County had open. And as far as I understand, Sutter County was asking me for a voluntary service plan, and that was around the same time I was leaving the area. And I did miss the day. I knew the date. It was like the 28th. I thought that was a Friday instead of Thursday, and so I missed that. And with my past experience with CPS, I really did not want to go and get in touch with them then, because I figured my child would be taken away right away. Because of the power that one person, Roberta Krenz, who has as much qualifications as a secretary, has here in Santa Cruz County as a CPS worker. You know, a person who has as much qualifications. I asked her once if she has any psychological background. No, she doesn't. Yet she has my son on a psychologist report that says I'm incapable of being a mother. And you just have to look at my daughter.
So we need to get another psychologist who says you are capable of being a mother.
Well, they tried
dueling psychology.
Yeah, they tried that, but Roberta Krenz got hold of that psychologist too. And furthermore, the input is from my stepfather, who's trying to adopt my child. He said all sorts of terrible things about me being a rebellious teenager. He couldn't say I did anything because I never did.
Mm-hmm.
But that was enough for them to go on.
So what's the next step? What is it that you're supposed to do by tomorrow?
Call in the morning at 8 o'clock.
Call
in the morning at 8 o'clock and see what they want to do. And see, they want to make a check on the baby. And then after they get to make a check on the baby, as long as we have a place where we can go and stay, the baby will be released to us.
Listen to this. All treaty council.
I repeat, the baby was not released. Baby is still in the hands of CPS, at least it was as of Saturday night.
You proved that the baby's Indian, but you just look at her to find out she's Indian.
Yeah.
You know? That's for sure.
Hey, Robert, when can I get in touch with you tomorrow?
There's paperwork involved there.
I'll be around in the morning.
Be at the shelter?
I'll be at my number.
They tell them they have to go get a place to live. When they get, if they get, okay, now they have to get first and last and all this deposit on it.
They
get
the
a
officer place. Did the work. Officer Furman.
Yeah, that's
they get a place
there.
To live. And after they get a place to live, they still have to go through their regular routine, CPS's routine. And whatever CPS tells them to do, they have to do it. They won't get the kid right away back because I already know Rapunzel's one of them. But they took Rapunzel's kid for, right? They just,
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Gone.
Gone.
2 weeks. And they still threatened her. And she's still going.
She's
been on
her,
the CPS program for a year.
She had to drink a bottle.
And she has five kids. But she's on these, and there's other people, same thing, same program.
So some are on it for 2 years.
So in other words, their word is not to be trusted? Is that the bottom
exactly.
line?
They have an agenda.
Well, there's also...
I don't know much about CPS. I heard nasty things about them.
I do know. I talked to one attorney, and he said that if I had not followed the service plan, that he would not deal with the case. And at that point, I had not followed the service plan because I had absolutely no trust in the woman. See, originally, they wanted me to move into a neighborhood, and my child's brown. And I said, I want to find a mixed community for my child to move in. And the people that were, the Valerie Werner, who I was working with at the time, she got all upset, and she took away my aid.